Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott Warr.
I'm Don Freeman.
And I'm Lee McKinley.
And we're here today with Lee McKinley, and we'd like to talk to him specifically about his training and how he trains for ultra marathons and long distance runs. He's has a very unique philosophy on training, especially how he cross trains, and we want to get a little bit into that.
For those that don't know Lee McKinley, and if you go to Ultra Sign Up and look at his running resume, if you will, 80 events, all varying distances, 50K, 50 mile, 100K, and plenty of 100 miles events in there, and run very successfully. In fact, multiple Western States finishes. And one interesting thing about Lee is that over the last 10 years of running Western States, he has progressively become faster and faster in his finish time, which is, really, I think, unheard of as we age naturally. You'd think you slow down, but not with Lee. He has found a way not only to age, but to stay healthy, stay strong, and get faster. So we thought we'd talk to him about it. Lee, what's the secret?
And it's especially odd knowing just how old I am.
how old are you, Lee?
I have turned that half century mark this year, so 50 years old.
Congratulations. Did you buy a Porsche?
Sarah hasn't allowed that yet, but a few other gifts are at home.
You do have the bike with the electric shifter on it, though, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That is my Porsche.
That is your
Boy,
Porsche.
What a segue into cross training.
I don't think I've ever heard of an electric shifter. What's an electric shifter?
So yeah, that's a.
So, I mean,
a road bike. Road bikes now have the capability to have electronic shifting. So you have a battery on the bike. And bottom line is what it does is it makes for a smoother shifting, makes it so that the front derailleur automatically adjusts. So, you know what I mean? When you're always having to adjust that front derailleur.
Yeah, so it's not clicking on you.
That's right. So a couple of advantages. It's just sweet.
I'm glad you explained that, because when you said electric shifter, I was thinking, how lazy can you be? You're an ultra runner, but yet you can't move your thumb.
Oh, that forefinger gets awfully tired.
So tell us about your training. We just had a podcast with Jimmy Dean Freeman, and we talked about the number of hours out on the trail or training. And I had mentioned for a building phase of 20 hours of exercise time. For me, most of that being on the trail. But for you, Lee, you had a different story. Tell us about it.
Well, I hopefully accurately said in that interview that I've split my training a third running, a third biking, and a third swimming. And if you were to ask me where did that design come from, it really came from a goal that I want to be one of those old guys that's out there still running when he's 70. And I think that in order to do that, the facts are against us as collectively as runners. Those that put in a lot of miles when we're younger, frankly, the evidence shows that they're not running when they're older. It goes with the old theory that you only have so many miles on your legs. So I'm a believer in that, at least to an extent. So I still love to exercise. Anything endurance is enjoyable to me. So I've decided to consciously spread that out, which means fewer miles of pure running, more miles in the pool, more miles on the bike, which seem to diminish the pounding, diminish the wear and tear. So it's no more complex than that.
So compare that a little bit to some of your 100-mile preparation where you had a great deal of running, and then you've now morphed into a third and a third and a third. Did you find that you were stronger in ways or fresher in ways, or maybe it was a sacrifice? Mm-hmm. Where did you land after that? Mm-hmm.
Well, let me address the mental side of it. I think that in any of the races that I go into now, any of the ultra races, I go in a lot fresher mentally.
Interesting.
And again, it's just that I look forward to the runs that I do because they're not as frequent. Mm-hmm. And so looking back on those years where I was really pounding the miles, it, and I know we hear about this, you don't want to go in mentally worn out into a 100-miler, but I would. I would go in because there is this mentality that we all get into where you just can't get enough miles in. If you have an extra hour, you're going to go out and run 5 miles. Well, now for me, it might be if I have an extra hour, I might hop on the bike for a while and really savor those, say, 3 days of running that I do a week for special days. So that makes sense.
Yep. And on those days, what would you say your mileage is in running in the building phase? And there's different phases within training, but
yeah.
You're really trying to build.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How many miles? What kind of runs, those three runs?
Right. So, well, allow me to talk about what I want that to develop into. And I've been thinking a little bit about how I want to morph that into a more useful time on the trail. And so one of those I have done is a long run. One of those is obviously for all of us needs to be a long run to get ready for these. But the thing that I have not done historically that I want to incorporate is some type of speed workout. And on the trail, easier said than most of us think. It's just a matter of using the watch instead of having a track. You know, say 5 minutes of running hard, 2 minutes off, 5 minutes hard, that sort of thing. So that would be the second run. And the third might be a throwaway run of whatever distance with some friends.
Okay. So I'm interested, just to take a little divergence here, is, you know, you've been doing a lot of biking, a lot of swimming.
Yep.
Triathlons? Have you been doing any triathlons?
Well, Sarah, my wife, did talk me and Eric Skadden into doing Ironman St. George earlier this year.
Oh, nice.
So we have done a few of those Ironmans. Sarah and I have been to Hawaii once many, many years ago. And so it was long enough between Hawaii and doing St. George this weekend that we had completely forgotten how to execute a race at an Ironman, so we suffered a great deal. Don't ask me my marathon time, thank you.
which is your strength in a triathlon? What is your strength? I have run with you, and I know how great of a runner you are. I mean, but what do you think your strength is in a triathlon?
Yeah, well, in this particular Ironman, definitely it was the bike. Which okay. All that means is I blew it out on the bike and left nothing for the run.
Was it the shifter?
Yeah, right.
The electronic
too
shifter.
Much shifting, right.
Yeah, that sucked you into overexertion.
Right. So, but I'm average in all three sports, which makes me competitive.
Now how about injury prevention? I've got to think that's just a natural benefit of staying off of the trail all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
What have you found? Were you injury prone at all before you made this split of three?
I think I've been into Don's chiropractic business here more than my share, taking care of mostly calf problems historically. That's my Achilles heels in the calf. And so I've had my share of injuries, but clearly that there are just so many benefits to the cross training, and injury prevention is right at the top of the list. I just get running just wears me down. And so let's say, I'll just give an example. I've gone out for a long run on a Saturday, say 25 mile, getting ready for States. On Sunday, as an older guy, it's a little bit harder to get back out and do a lengthy run. So conversely, getting on the bike and going out with one of the local clubs and riding for a few hours with them, actually get off the bike and feel better than I did having done nothing. So.
And I think we've talked before, you know, going into a race, we talk about tapering. And I think you had told me before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't taper as much anymore. You just switch the percentage of running and biking. I mean, you still get on the bike and train very hard on the bike, but you're not mm-hmm. doing that pounding, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And it works. It works for me anyway. So, and by the way, something we haven't talked about is, do you lose – or do I sense that I've lost some of my edge by not running as many miles? And frankly, I haven't seen that yet, because I've been running some 10Ks and 5K
right.
times, which show that the speed anyway hasn't been lost. But even if it means in the end giving up a little bit in terms of total time on an ultra, it seems to be well worth it in terms of the wear and tear on the bodies.
See if you agree with this, Lee, because I ended up doing some of the cross-training just for survival. You know, as you're talking about it, I just couldn't, handle all the pounding on the joints out sure. there and still feel fresh. And so I had to do something different. So I ended up, good excuse to buy a bike. So I bought a bike, not an electronic shifter bike. I have to use my hand, but that burning more calories and doing some additional cross training.
Nice,
so
nice.
You may, I've got a, if you want to swap bikes, Lee, I can get you my bike. But here's what I experienced is when we do a lot of running and we use a lot of the extensor muscles, you know, in the glutes and the hamstrings out there. And I felt I was very strong in those regions. And as soon as I started biking, I all of a sudden felt like I had two sides of my legs. And when I was just running the flats and the downs and the ups and all of that, I felt like I had a complete unit down below my waist.
Right.
Yeah,
interesting.
You know, with the quads and strength, increased quad strength. And then when I started swimming, all of a sudden I wasn't just a lower body running those trails. Mm-hmm. I all of a sudden became this machine that was efficient from the feet all the way to the top.
Interesting.
Because a great deal of our power and to motate to move comes from the torque or torsion between our torso and our pelvis, and that moving and counterclockwise back and forth. You watch the way you walk, a shoulder goes back, a hip goes forward.
Yep.
This torque provides power, and our legs are actually catching us as we go forward, because we do create a lot of power from our core. And so when I started doing the swimming and the biking, I just felt like a different athlete out there.
Well, you know, talking about core, where does the weight training come in? Do you get into the gym and do some core body work, sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, that kind of stuff?
Well, and let me differentiate between whether I do and whether or not it's good. I think it's great for athletes. In fact, I do remember some top Western States finishers that believed the difference between their good years and bad years was getting in the weight room. But it just isn't for me. I just don't take the time. Outside of doing push-ups, sit-ups,
Yeah,
that's all that I do.
You do a lot of upper body with your swimming. Do you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, for me, I'm a what they call in the pool a sinker.
You don't have any body fat, Lee. I'm looking over at you. I'm trying to name the veins I'm seeing.
the lack of body fat does not help me.
We need to put a picture of Lee on this podcast. I was very impressed when he took his jacket off a little bit ago. I go, man.
I didn't take mine off. You notice I didn't take mine off?
Why am I wearing a long sleeve shirt?
Well, I'm not going to answer that.
Let's just say for the swimmers out there, I need two pull buoys when I pull in the pool.
Well, good. Any other tips for us, Lee, with training?
You know, I want to say one more thing about the biking.
Yeah.
And this is confirmed with other bikers that I've known that are runners, is that biking will absolutely improve your climbing in ultra running. So if you're looking for actually a reason to improve your climbing in the runs, biking is an excellent way to do that. It works the same muscles. And I didn't believe it until I started biking in the hills. And it became a noticeable difference for me, it was walking compared to running the hills. I began to on some of those tough hills be able to run them.
Yeah, so. And I've tried to keep up with you on some of those tough climbs. We have K2 around here, and
I've been on a run.
Off he went.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is for all of us, it there's a variety of different kind of cross training. I mean, we have a good friend Julie Fingar who swears by yoga, and I'm sure that we'll have her on as a guest host and or an interviewee. And she can talk about yoga, and that's one of the things I tried this last summer is some I don't know what they call it, heat yoga.
Yeah, hot yoga.
And I did it more for the heat training because it was a very mild summer for us this year, and I needed some heat training. But I'll tell you what, yoga is probably one of the hardest workouts I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not going to try it.
Well, right. I was going to say, unfortunately, I gave it up because it was so hard.
In that puddle of sweat below you, doesn't
it? Oh, my gosh.
Lee, tell us about a workout you had with Tom Johnson, right? Legendary Western States runner and just runner in general.
Right.
And you went out on a bike ride with him and finished, I don't want to tell the story, but you know where I'm going with it? Because we ran, and you told me the story, a long bike ride, 60 miles or so.
Sure.
And his instructions to you as you were training for States.
Well, Tom is a wealth of knowledge. For those who don't know Tom, he has won Western States back several years ago. And I think he may still own the 100K record, American record at the 100K distance. But nonetheless, Tom it was a great guy for me to pick his brain in terms of strategy. But the one story that comes to mind, and Don, you have to tell me if I'm on target here with the one I told you, but he gave me advice on training for 800 and how he would approach a weekend. And he would approach it from a 3-day standpoint where on Friday he would try to run 20, on Saturday he would try to run 50, and on Sunday he would try to run 20 again. And the key was not the distances per se, but how he paced each one. So he wanted on the Sunday run to be able to do that at the same intensity and same speed as the run on Friday.
On Friday.
And it wasn't just about feel. He made himself go at the same speed. And what that meant is that he had to think on Friday about how slowly he had to go that day in order to accomplish that again on Sunday. And again, so connecting the dots, he's thinking about the race. He's thinking about the 100 miler where so many of us go out and blow up in the first 25 miles because we feel so good. But if we're actually thinking beyond that, saying, hey, my goal is to be able to run that last 25 miles, what better way to do that than to approach training that way?
We could go on for hours with Lee because, you know, he's a great strategist out there on putting a race plan together. But we'll save that for another time. The story that I was talking about, Lee, but I'm glad you brought that one up.
That was a good story.
No, it was a great story.
All of his stories are good.
Yeah, well,
pulled that one right out of my ass.
the riding for 60 miles, and then he was going home, I believe, and he said, now, Lee, since you're training for states, you need to go run 20. And you had just followed this man who's a strong cyclist climbing up and down hills, and you said you didn't have a whole lot left, and he that was his instructions for you.
Yep, that sounds like Tom.
And, okay, so the question is, did you go run 20?
Oh,
not a chance.
No. Oh, come on, Lee. I thought you ran it.
Never admit to it. I think I had ice cream.
No. You know what? Lee McKinley ran that 20 miles. I'll guarantee you that because he is a man not to back down from a challenge. Well, great, Lee. Thanks for sharing that with us. Those are some great tips, and that we really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Fun.
All right. Thanks, Lee.